Point of View. Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
10 minutes to 9. Thank you so much for staying with us and welcome to those who've just joined us on Point of View. Now, Bloke and His American Bantu is a play that's happening at the moment as we speak. It's happening at the State Theatre. It's directed by Siloma Kagangube as well as written by Spio Mahala. It really is a play, two-man play on two intellectuals, Bloke and His American Bantu. It's Bloke Modisane, that is a South African writer, really talented, as well as an actor. I don't know if many of you knew that, as well as an actor. And his buddy, his really very close friend, Langston Hughes, who himself was quite renowned as a writer in the United States in the 60s. So on the line with us this evening to talk to us about the play is a director of the play, Sillo Makagangube. Welcome to the show, Sillo, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Pamela, and good evening to the Kaya listeners, Abum Kaya.
So what an incredible show of camaraderie between two wonderful contributors to the arts, to literature. This relationship between Bloke and Langston, was it coincidental?
I don't think it was a coincidence. Because I think there has been some kind of communication between the two. And I guess communication between Langston and the Drum magazine. Because at one point, he was asked to adjudicate the short story competition. Mm-hmm. And then I guess, you know, Bloke continued to write to him. And Spio, when he talks about how he came across the letter, was that he had gone to search for the communication between Langston and Skiam Pahlele. And he found in their letters they were constantly referring to Bloke, you know, both of them. And that's what led him to ask about, you know, if there was any communication between Langston and Bloke. And he found that their communication was just, I mean, it resonated with closeness.
I mean, it's 50 letters. I mean, that's quite a lot that was discovered there, the 50 letters between the two. And speaking a lot to the issues that were faced by South Africans, black South Africans, and the support given by African Americans at the time, and speaking to their histories at the time as well.
Absolutely. And also the similarities, you know. You know, and also, I mean, and the communication was not only between, you know, Langston and maybe the other African writers, because there's somewhere where, even in the play, where Langston talks about how Chief Albert Luthuli and Martin Luther King signed a, you know, a declaration of sorts, you know, and so the communication between African Americans and South Africans actually goes a long way if one would even look. Perhaps, maybe, you know, checking the, you know, maybe communication that could have happened between, but the founder of the ANC.
Of course,
you
Dube.
Know, Pixley Kaysak, not Pixley Kaysak, Kaysak,
yes. Kaysak,
and also, even Langalibalele Dube, he has connections. You know, he actually, I think, connected with Booker T. Washington. Yeah, you know, and I think our history with African Americans goes a long, long, long way.
One of the things that I found really interesting, which gave such a richness to the play, Sillo, is that, yes, we know that a lot of, you know, artists, writers, journalists, you know, found themselves exiled or running away from authorities in South Africa. But what we don't usually get to know is just their daily living experiences and the difficulties that they, you know, they may have faced. And the letters give us quite an intimate view into what Bloke was going through, you know, not being able to work, not having the money, just the difficulties of a foreigner in foreign land with no support.
Absolutely. And also, and I think, you know, one thing that we don't realize that we experience was the black brain drain, you know, which was happening as a result of apartheid. And then again, also the black brain destruction that happened to the Inzails, you know, because apartheid basically suppressed a lot of intellectuals in the country that basically could have contributed to the upliftment, you know, of South Africa.
Do you think, and that's such an interesting point you make, do you think Bloke would have wanted to write more? I got the feeling if the environment was conducive and life gave him a break, he would have wanted to write more. He would have dedicated himself to being more of a writer than chasing, you know, the daily bread, so to speak.
Absolutely. And I think also, you know, I mean, when he actually even analyzes, you know, why, you know, they ended up writing short stories instead of novels. And he talks there about a short-term morality, you know, that basically black South Africans were finding themselves in, you know, and that short-term morality, you know, leads to people basically just living for now and not, you know, living for tomorrow. And that is something that he depicted then. And now we actually see and live with the repercussions of what colonialism actually did to us.
I mean,
you know, I mean, one of the things that I'm reading is actually the land is ours. And when you look at how dispossession actually turned South Africans to be laborers in their own, on their own land instead of owning it, and how that actually could lead to South Africans not being entrepreneurial and not even having a sense of belonging.
And how much of the material that he did attempt to write was available to us? Because I know that there are issues of copyright and so on. While he was in the UK, was there any trace of some of the work that he attempted to write?
I think you know, he has written extensively. I mean, besides, I mean, you look at even Blame Me on History. Blame Me on History was not an accessible book, you know, for many of us.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I remember, I think learning about it, I think way, I think in the late 90s, you know, I think the late Chakela actually adapted it to the stage, you know, making it a play. And it is not only him. When you look at the Ken Tembers themselves, their writings were banned in the country. You know, there were people who were basically turned pariahs.
Yeah.
You know, in their own land. You know, and and for me, that's why I actually call it a brain drain, because these intellectuals, I mean, their contribution, we discovered them late. I personally discovered them late in our lives.
And it speaks also to being republished, and that's why I asked, because, you know, we speak of these people, but very difficult even today to access that material. A right sitting with people who are not willing to allow even families to have access to that. When you were working on this project alongside Sphiwe Mahala, even audiovisual material, were you able to get access to that for some of the speeches that he gave in the US?
Not much, except that, you know, what Sphiwe actually managed to, you know, to draw from the letters. And I think also one thing that has got to be mentioned here, it's the exceptional attention to, I guess, to retaining or to archive things Langston Hughes had, because apparently what he did, and hence, you know, like letters, you know, you would find, you know, the letters that he had written and the letters that Bloke wrote. And what apparently Langston used to do, he would write a response, but make a duplication and send one letter and remain with another with a response copy, that he had written, a copy of that. And that is how, you know, the communication was easily tied.
And where are these letters sitting, if I may ask, right now?
They are sitting at Yale University in Connecticut, you know,
And,
but I need to make a copy, you know,
of course.
And those who will be able to come to see the show on on Sunday, basically, and even as from tomorrow, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they will see, you know, an exhibition of those letters, you know, in the foyer of the Arena Theater. You know, I mean, with this play, I mean, what I'm glad to say is that, you know, since we just came from... we performed first, I think, UJ, UP, and then J, and then National Arts Festival.
Yes.
And it has been dubbed as an example of well-made theater and professional acting. And Lebo M said it is a well-written, directed, performed, produced play that is timely.
It really
and
is timely.
And those who are sitting and listening to this, book your tickets to go and see this this show and see how Spiro Mahala has hoisted from the annals of history
so,
a beautiful camaraderie of two intellectuals.
So you speak of, you know, how well written, produced and acted it is. And I was thinking how now that I've seen the play, I can't unsee the actors. So in my mind, Bloke will always remain and Josias will always remain Langston because they do well.
That is the beauty, I think, of retelling stories and capturing. I mean, one person who experienced that, I think, is the actor who played Lumumba.
Yes,
you know, and at one stage, I mean, his image was used as
as the real Lumumba. and I cannot unsee Anele and Josias as the two. This is Langston and this is Anele. They've done a fantastic job, and I have to say that, you know, along the way one appreciates the fact that you are able to use a South African actor in Josias and have him become an actor before he's obsessed about being an American. Does that make sense?
I think it does.
And that for us is what I think I found as an audience member I appreciated the most, in the sense that it didn't become about him impersonating Langston rather than him telling the story through his craft, and then we then understood this is Langston.
You know, that actually, you know, confirms and affirms this approach that I have even to acting. Is that I think as actors, you know, sometimes we find we are actually presenting the human condition. And whereas what we are supposed to do is represent the human condition or the characters that we are playing. You know, and the only way that we can actually do that is actually when we actually use ourselves as the vehicle,
correct,
as the instrument of, you know, relaying the human condition to the, you know, to an audience. And people see through us the lives that we are representing.
Absolutely well done. It really, really is exquisitely played, both by Anele and Josias. And really, really, I want to thank you for putting it together, as well as Piwo for bringing this to us. It's worth watching. How long is it going to be at the State Theatre for, Silo?
It's going to be there until the 24th. And what was amazing also was the casting of Josiah.
Tell me.
Of Dawes.
Yes.
Spiro Tasman, you know what? I have somebody in mind for Langston, you know. And then the next day I come and say, no, man, look, I've got this actor that I'm thinking,
yes,
you know, to play Langston.
It's the same person.
And he says, who's that? And then I write the name and I send the picture. He said, this is the guy that I'm talking about.
You see what happens when everything conspires. It's absolutely
wonderful. And Anele Yena basically is a new foul.
Where did you find him?
He's a young man from KZN.
He's incredible.
I couldn't find somebody who really moved me, you know, when I was casting, around the Pretoria and Johannesburg, I then sent my fillers to the, you know, nationally. And he sent a clip, and I just said,
that's
this
him.
Is my man.
That's him. Well, it's incredible. Yes. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for bringing it to us. And it is
thank
up.
You. Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. It is up until the 24th of July. It's at the State Theatre. It's called Bloke and His American Bantu. Trust me, you will not regret seeing it. It's 5 minutes after 9.
Point of View. Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m. Ooh.